But when you heard the end of his children's lesson and how you have a blessing to be in a home, there's love, to be in a home where there's two parents, those numbers, those statistics he gave you, they weren't very good. It wasn't just one every so often, but it's quite common. It's normal. Years ago, it was very abnormal for men and women to separate like that. I think it was Brother Matt that shared. He remembers being in school. Is that you right, Brother? Where he remembers there was a child there that their parents separated, I believe it was. And they got made fun of. One child in the entire school, or his class, or however it was. But now when you use James' statistics, there's only a few in the whole class that have the same dad and mom still together. That's amazing. Well, this morning, again, grateful to be here. Very thankful for the exhortations that we've already heard. And we can go home with those exhortations and have something to feast on, at least till next Sunday. This morning I was thinking, or last night I guess, I was with some family and friends and visiting, and this comment came up again. It's come up before from young people, from young men. Excuse me. And it was talking about being nervous to go up front. And I was just visiting with them there, and one of them just pipes up and says, "Oh, Noah's never nervous. I mean, he don't get nervous. He just goes up there and he's never nervous." Well, I didn't intentionally try to fool them. That wasn't done intentionally. I do get nervous. I want to just clarify that. But one thing that does help, though, is that there's a body here of believers that don't make me nervous. I don't tiptoe around and think, "Oh, I better say this real careful. I'm going to upset them. Oh, they're going to..." If I say that, I don't do that. Because I have a trust that I can say whatever. And I have a trust and a relationship, I believe, for the most part, with each of you, that you'll take it for what it's worth. So that part of it doesn't make me nervous. You as people don't make me nervous. I guess the biggest thing that makes me tremble, is this: handling the Word of God. I'm responsible for how I handle the Word of God. I'm responsible for what you hear from me in the Word of God. If I twist this and send it out and someone takes it and believes it, I'm not saying something accidental or misunderstood. I'm saying intentional. It makes me tremble because you serve a holy God. And I want to serve Him for all that I'm worth. And just to, I guess, expose myself, because I've heard young men say that before about me, that, "Oh, he don't get nervous." Well, that's not true. I do. I'm human just like everyone else. One thing that helps nervousness is having confidence with the people that you're with. The prayers of the saints. I love to come on a Sunday morning. Denny Keniston, he always called it the engine room. He said to go back in the prayer room. He said, "That's the engine room for the day. That gets things fired up." Well, for me, I like to sit there and listen to the prayers. They're very edifying. The comfort and strength in me. And And then there's times where maybe you'll go out front and a brother will meet you there and say, I want to pray with you. Those things, they take nervousness away. They take fear away. So I'm very, very real though. I have struggles like anyone else. We all face struggles. We all face times of being anxious. Whether that's for whatever reason, but we face those things. I guess my reason for sharing this is just so some of you young people can have a right perspective of me. Don't think too highly of people. Don't think higher than you should. That's what too many have done with men in the past. For the last few months, I've actually been struggling with anxiety, a number of things like that. And those things all come from just the stress and strain of life. Those things come from many things, I guess. They can come from your work. They can come from having a burden for the church because you want to see everyone prosper. You want to see everyone make it. They come from having a burden for the lost among us. Am I doing all I can do? Is there something else I could yet be doing to make a difference? And also, thinking not just for the lost, but there's times that there's others that struggle. And sometimes I miss the opportunity to come alongside and encourage them. So I do apologize to those of you that I did miss for not being more supportive. And some of you have wondered why it's been so long since I preached. Well, I just told you. Because life is pretty real. So I hope I didn't share more than I should have. My heart isn't to get you to sympathize with me. My heart is to help you understand that life's pretty real.
Why don't a few of us brothers just go out and gather around?
just get tired. We don't want to think we're called to preach. And the callings you have, Lord, that you would supply the grace to stand to you. Do what you would ask to do. We thank you for your throne, Lord. We also pray for his family. We would bless and keep that. Also, Lord, we ask you to bind the devil. We know that he wants to show us all everything that's wrong and discourages us. You know that he's the master of deception lies. We pray against him in the name of the Lord Jesus. We just lift up Brother Noah and pray, Lord, that you would help him to continue to look to you and for the author and finisher of our faith. Help us, Lord, that you are recognize the scripture that the things that you've called us unto, that you will give us the grace to perform. Thank you.
Father, this morning, I lift up Brother Noah to you. Lord, thank you that you understand. Thank you that you pity us as a father to his son. Lord, we are human. And sometimes our bodies break down. And things overwhelm us. Doesn't mean we're not saved. It doesn't mean we're doing anything wrong. But Lord, we live in a fallen world that is under the curse of sin. Lord, I just pray that you would be with this family. I just pray in the name of Jesus that the powers of darkness Lord, I don't believe it's because of sin, because of those types of things, but the devil loves to see us overcome. And Lord, we pray that your grace would be poured out, that you would just lift Noah and his family up. You thank you for his openness. Lord, I do not think that my brother is being weak. I think it's a step in healing to admit that we need help. We need to look to you. So Lord, just give us strength to stand together. Lord, I have faced some of these things in my own life, and others have walked with me through that, and I so much appreciate that. So Lord, thank you, and we love you.
Thank you. I wasn't planning sharing all these things, but last night as I was laying there in bed and I was thinking of our conversations with the young men there, and I just wanted to make sure that they understood that I'm just human. Well, I want to share just a few thoughts here that the Lord has inspired me with. During this time, I was thinking, I know some of you that have struggled with this in the past and have had difficult times. And, when sleep becomes evasive and you don't get much of it, It's sometimes hard to just read. And I find myself actually going through a time where I just felt like I needed to go to work. That was the right thing to do. That's going to, you know, help clear my mind up. So I started doing too much of that. But one morning at work, I opened my Bible. I was waiting to get loaded. I opened my Bible and Luke chapter 2, verse 19. This kind of stood out to me. And this is talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And so I was just thinking, I was struck with the thought of pondering them in her heart. And then I started to think about my life and what do I ponder. Pondering things in life, it's important. You know, Mary, she was at a point of in life that she became pregnant by the Spirit of God. The child she was carrying was the Son of God. So if you can just kind of like take your mind and just try to wrap it around that a little bit. Of her, a virgin, carrying the Savior. How much pondering, how much thinking do you think she did? In my mind, I say she did an awful lot. She did a lot of pondering. What does this mean? I mean, I understand. I met the angel. But, really? And then time goes on, and she gives birth to this special child. And then you have wise men come to seek this child, and they worship God. They bring gifts. And Mary is just, she's got to be sitting there just pondering. What does all this mean? What does all this mean? This child is going to be used by God somehow. What does this mean? How is this going to work out? And I think it was Herod that was going to kill all the children two and under. You know, all these things are in her mind. Then there's a lot more that she was surely thinking. But then as life goes on, they go to the temple to offer sacrifice, and they meet a woman by the name of Anna, I believe it was. She was a widow there, and she spent her time there, if I understand it correctly. And she came up, and she blessed them, blessed the child, and praised God, because she got to see the Savior. And then, I don't know if it was the same time, or just right as she walked away, or how that was, I don't remember exactly. But then you have Simon. He was a man of faith there. He was just and devout, it says, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it revealed to him that this was the Savior. And so he went and took the child in his arms, and he spoke many things. He says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." And it says that Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Simon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against."
And so you have Mary here. I just picture her pondering. What? What does all this mean? How will all this come to pass? Thank you. Time goes on. Jesus, I think it said he was about the age of 12. They went to go again worship at the temple. And they were on their way home. Thinking maybe they were a day's journey already. I'm not sure. They've already traveled some time. And they realized that Jesus wasn't in the midst. He wasn't in the traveling party. I get the picture that a group of them all traveled together. And he wasn't there. And they searched. And finally they found him. Does anyone know where they found him? Children, do you know where they found Jesus at the age of 12? Anyone know? Marty?
At the temple.
In the temple. He was in there playing ball. They had a good old ball game going on. I don't know if it was football or if it was basketball. I don't remember. Do you remember, Marky? Was it ball? It wasn't ball. Do you know what it was?
He was reading the scrolls.
He was, I think it said he was talking to the teachers there. He was in conversation with them. And they finally found him, and it's like, and if I understand it correctly, Mary kind of chided him a little bit. Like, I'm just going to put my own words to it. Didn't you know we were looking for you? I mean, I'm worried about you, you know? I kind of get that picture a little bit. And rightfully so, she was a mother. And Jesus says, well, didn't you know I'm supposed to be about my Father's business? Be about my Father's business? That's age 12. How many 12-year-olds do we have in here? You get a raise of hands? 12 years old? Just a couple. But then there's quite a few that are older. At the age of 12, Jesus was about his Father's business. And I think that's a good time to start learning much, much more responsibility in life. But anyhow, Mary had to ponder this too. About my Father's business. I mean, you're only 12 years old. I mean, you follow the thinkings that she probably had in all this? It's probably way deeper than that. I'm just touching, just skimming it, you know? I'm sure she often thought of these things because it said that she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And so I was, as I considered this, I just read the verse and I'm just sitting there thinking, what are my priorities? What are things that my mind is full of? What are things that I keep dear in my heart? Because we have so many things in life that cause distractions. I have many distractions for me in my own life. To stay in the Word and to keep a close connection with God, that takes effort. That doesn't just happen. That takes effort. That takes purpose in our lives. And the world has a way of stealing our hearts, where we stop pondering the kingdom. You know, for each one of us that are born again here today, God wants you, He wants you and I to ponder the kingdom. What can I do to make a difference in a positive way in the kingdom of God? What can I do? You know, in the kingdom of God, sometimes it's just the brother or sister next to you. Sometimes it's just simply blessing your husband. You know, maybe you had a stressful day at work. Maybe it's husbands blessing your wife. They had a stressful day at home. Maybe it's reaching out to the lost. Making a difference in the kingdom. But being purposeful in thinking about it. Not just, oh, here's an opportunity once every great while. But being purposeful and pondering. The world has a way of stealing our hearts where we stop pondering the kingdom. We stop pondering and being focused on it. We start focusing on ourselves. You know, as I think of Mary keeping those thoughts, all those sayings near to her and pondering them, I think of her as holding something precious. She had something that was very precious to her. And I, my mind went back to when I first got converted, how precious that was to me. It still is precious to me. But there's times where the world crowds in my mind with all these distractions that my ponderings aren't the kingdom. My ponderings are maybe, what are we going to do in this area of business? How are we going to expand this area? What are we going to do in this area of life? And not that we shouldn't think of those things, but to have perspective. Yeah, okay, how will this expansion in my business affect the kingdom of God in a positive way? Or won't it? Maybe it won't. Maybe I should consider putting the brakes on. Does that make sense? And you can put business in there, but you can put a lot of things in there. Maybe vacations are something that have high priority in my list. I want to go here. I want to go there. Vacations are great. I encourage them. But don't let that take away from the kingdom. Maybe it's our house, our place. We want everything just so. So we start crowding the kingdom out. So we put extra effort and time in having everything just so. I trust that you all are as real as I am, and those things are real for you. Maybe not each one for you today, but you've experienced that. And if you haven't, you probably will, because it's just life. And so, as I consider Mary saying those things are precious, keeping it very close to her heart, do we still consider the Word of God precious in our lives? Because I think of the fast pace of life. And I talk to many people, believers and unbelievers alike, and they're just shaking their heads like, I can't believe how busy we are. I mean, we're already getting close to halfway through a new year. Okay, well, when we get to June, it'll be that way, but we're already in May. That's 1 month away. Think about it. Time is flying. And the world isn't helping us to get our act together, to get our thoughts together, to keep our thoughts focused on the kingdom. The world's not helping us do that. And I'm afraid that all too often, I'm trying to think of the scripture in the Old Testament there. I think it had to do with Eli and his sons. And I can't remember exactly where it's at, but I think it had to do with Eli and his sons. And it refers to the Word of God being precious in those days. And I think all too often today, the Word of God is precious in that way. Precious in those days, the Word of God was precious in those days, means it was rare. It became a rare thing in those days. And that's what the world wants us to do, is to have a little bit of this in your life. Oh, it's all right, just a little bit. You know, grab some fast food on your way to work, just maybe turn your audio Bible on and get a verse and then go about your day. I'm not saying that's wrong. All I'm saying is that fast pace where you can't take time, meditate, and ponder. How does the Word affect you? How does that affect me? What can I learn from this? All too often we live a fast-paced life. And the preciousness of the word is actually becoming its meaning rare. We start losing the preciousness where we think of jewels. Diamonds, rubies, those things are precious. If you had one, and say it was the size of this here and it was worth $10 billion, would you count that precious? Like you would take care of it, right? Or would you just, another rock and throw it out in the driveway? And whoever comes drives over it. You understand what I'm saying? It's not saying that your heart's necessarily the wrong way. What I'm trying to say is you would take care of that because it has value. That's what I'm saying. It's precious. It has a lot of value. But all too often, our families, we start diminishing value on them. And where we put the most time is what we put value on. And so, when I'm trying to increase work, I'm trying to increase this and that, my hunting hobbies, my fishing hobbies, my camping hobbies, all these things, all the recreation, the things that we like to do, and those things all get high priority, but family gets pushed back. I don't have time for devotions this morning. We're going fishing. I don't have time for it because I got an extra job I got to squeeze in this week. And then it becomes habit in life. And pretty soon, the Word of God is becoming rare. Maybe y'all don't find that in your life. I do. That to me, that's something that's real. And that's something that I don't want a continuation of in life. God doesn't want the Word of God being rare in His people. And so, I just about had to jump, Willie. We're going to have to lower that waist time. I'm just going to write part of Proverbs 4:26. And this is what I'd like for us to take home with us. There's more to that verse. I think it says in that thy ways be established or something. But it's for me, in my own life, this is something that's very important. If I don't ponder the path of my feet, I'm going to come up dry. And Ezekiel gives us the account of all these dead bones, this valley of dry bones. There was no life there. If I don't ponder the path of my feet, I'm going to end up dry. I'm going to end up very dry. Actually, I was going to just open it up for a minute. And what are some hindrances? What are some hindrances in pondering the path of our feet? I mentioned a few, but you have any other thoughts to add to it? What are some hindrances to having time to ponder, to meditate, to consider? What are some hindrances that you face? Does anyone have any that come to their mind they'd like to share? Busyness of life.
Having to go somewhere every night of the week or have somebody over. Rather than just have family time to get
time. Those sound like good things to do, though, brother. They sound like real good things to do. But that's true, though. It's important that we ponder our paths because we start losing out on personal family time. if we have something going every night of the week. There's some weeks we do, but there's a lot of weeks we don't. But then sometimes in those weeks that we don't, I find myself busy doing other things. It still takes a pondering to consider what is good and what's right. Does anyone else have another thought like share? If you do, feel free to share it as we go. I think sometimes, as we go through life, and you go through some dark valleys, we have a tendency of not pondering the Word of God. We want to fix our own dilemmas. In all our ponderings, you know, when we're going through difficult times, something that I want to try to remember is Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in a day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust Him." Trust in Him. When we're struggling, let's take time to ponder on those verses. Let's ponder on these things here and believe that God, He is a stronghold. Even though it looks like there is no light at the end of the tunnel, let's keep being faithful and doing what we know to do. And we'll come out stronger. I believe we'll shine brighter. We might not think we do, but for the glory of God, it's for Him. We need to remember those promises. There's many more. Sometimes in fast pace of life, we make decisions that don't always bring glory to God. Maybe it's a business decision. Maybe it's a response. Maybe it's just a response to another human being. Maybe it's a brother or even a heathen. We respond wrong. Do I consider in all my ponderings? Now, I think it's important to go through life not allowing the world to set the pace. Do you know it's okay if you go to work at 7 o'clock in the morning? Do you know that? I'm learning that. It's okay to do that. And it might sound strange. Some of you might think, well, what's wrong with you? But no, especially going through this, the challenge that I'm going through, work seemed to be where I need to be. So my tendency is I want to get up at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning and I want to go to work. And with the help of my wife, she's a little more firm on, she thinks I'll leave a little later. And so I have a number of times already left about 7 o'clock. And that just feels, when you don't do it for a long time, that just feels wrong, I'm telling you. That doesn't feel right. It feels like you should already be half done with your day, maybe on the last leg of your day already, coming back home. And maybe that sounds strange to you. That's okay. That's just who I am. But that's something I'm purposing to change, is that it's okay to go to work later than that, what I've been doing. And I'm okay if the world calls me lazy. If I have the kingdom in my mind, and that's what my motivation is, I'm okay with being called lazy. In our community, if you don't have a big house, if you're not putting up something new every year, and if you're not off to work by a certain time and making a certain dollar, and many other things that go with that, you're considered lazy. But as I'm rethinking all these things, I knew these things before, but as I ponder them again, I don't look at it as lazy. I look at it as a wise man that will consider his ways and put the kingdom first. And that will allow the world to say what they want. I'm not saying that we have to on purposely not be clean in our homes and such. You understand my heart. But we don't have to be trying to keep up with everybody else. There's this thing called contentment in life. This thing called contentment in life that is lost very quick. So in all my decisions that I make, are they just? Do I take time to ponder? Are they just? Is this a just decision? Is this right? Is this going to have a positive effect? In all my decisions, do I ponder and consider? Am I displaying mercy through this? Am I displaying mercy? Because that's the kingdom of God. In all my decisions, do I consider, am I walking humbly by going this way? Am I walking humbly by going this way? Or does that display something else to others? Do I consider in all my decision what the Word says? Because I've heard it in testimonies before. I've been in predicaments before where the spur of the moment, you might do something and later regret it. All you had to do is like, all right, I'm okay with being different here. Just take a step back and think. Because when you do that, the Word of God comes to mind. The Spirit of God will direct you. This way we can be just. We can show mercy. And we can walk humbly. Let's ponder our paths. Pondering our paths. I was thinking of Romans 14, 11 and 12. It says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." As a considering, pondering our path, you and I will give an account for the things that we have done. And I'm not, you all know me, I'm not preaching a works salvation here. But Revelations, there's different scriptures that are very clear. You will be judged by your works. And so God's going to take an inventory. I think it's in Proverbs. It's Proverbs 24:12. "If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" We can say that, you know, the things that we do, that God has grace and it doesn't really matter that much. But here in Proverbs 24:12, when I look at that verse, I see someone that's trying to excuse themselves. Someone that's trying to say, "Oh, I didn't know that." You know what I mean? Just trying to excuse themselves. And then it goes on to say, "But doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works?" We can't use an excuse that, we didn't know better in our actions. As we consider every knee bowing, every tongue confessing, and everyone giving account. The question I have is, do we really believe that? Do I really believe that? If I do, my life will show it, right? Your life will show what you believe. I'll live carefully. I'll be careful with my actions. I'll be concerned about them. You know, if a thief, you know, if someone's a thief and they say that they know that they're going to go to hell if they keep doing it, But they continue to live that way. To me, it tells me he really doesn't believe that. Even though he acknowledges it, but he doesn't believe it. Here's why. Because believing something, believing is an action word. When you believe something, you respond to it. And so I think if he would really believe that, he would change his ways. So let's ponder our path. Another question to ask ourselves as we ponder our path and make decisions in life. We give an account for our actions. Another question to ask is, am I okay with the outcome? You know, as you deeply ponder, sometimes we have deep things in life, decisions and choices we make. Am I okay with the outcome? Is that okay with me? Or do I have a mentality that God is understanding? He'll overlook the thing that I'm involved in. Somehow he'll excuse me. There's a lot of that mentality in this world, in the professing believers. But let's not let it creep into our hearts, because it can. It can be very real. Because what that's saying is, he doesn't really mean that sin can't be in heaven. He'll excuse me somehow. You know, and to be practical in life, when we ponder our ways, you know, we have our quiet time. We have our time with God. And we ask God to show us who we are. And if there is, I just threw some very practical ones in here. Maybe we get caught up in whisperings, backbitings. Those things are just gossip. Or another thing is, maybe the community around us knows things that they shouldn't. Things that should be confidential. Things that brothers or sisters trusted you with. Things that they're wrestling with. Maybe they find those things out because lack of confidentiality. It's called gossip. And I think if you study the scriptures, we'll find gossip in the same category as the drunkard, the murderer. It's all right there. And God says sin will not enter heaven. So as we spend time with God pondering, and he brings that to your attention, it'll help us. It'll help us when we get part of a conversation to identify. No, I don't want to go there. Identify, nope, I don't want to be part of that. Identify what it is. I alluded to this a little earlier about always having to be up to scale with the neighbors. The thing that drives that is really discontentment. It's a lust. It's a desire for that thing that it's the same desire to have those things that are not yours. Whether that's money, whether that's fame, and I say the word fame, but in the same respect, maybe someone does something and he gets credit for it. And you really want, why didn't you get any? No, it's okay. It's all right. You don't need it. You just be happy for the one that God. It goes, you know, that driver of lust, it takes a lot of other things in. Maybe it's for someone else's belongings, someone else's spouse. It's for that thing that is forbidden, thing that you can't have. Wrong desires and wrong motivation. Let's ponder our path and to make sure that our heart is pure. Simon, the sorcerer, he wanted fame. He says, let me pay you for this ability to heal people and to do the things that the apostles were doing. I'll pay you. I'll make it worth your while. I mean, I'll pay a large sum for this thing. That's really what Simon was saying. But what was he after? What was he after? Anybody have any thoughts? What was Simon after? I think he was after power. He was after fame. He wanted to be recognized. All those things that go with that. Because before the apostles came, was it Philip that might have preached there and taught him the word there? But before they came, everybody feared Simon. Because he was a man of great power. And it reminds me of like when you go to Haiti and there's the witch doctor. Everybody fears the witch doctor because they've got power. And it seems like Simon wanted this power back. But he wanted something. And the response that he got was, "Thy money perish with you." So let's not have the wrong desires and wrong motivations. Let's ponder our path. And let's take our lives and ponder them as something precious. As something we want to be all we can be for the kingdom of God. For what He done for us. In the busyness of life, it's difficult sometimes to have time to ponder. Another thing is to ponder who I keep company with. Is it a wise choice to keep company with? And you fill in the blank. Psalm 1 tells us who to have company with. Tells us to not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. And also and not to be with the scornful. And I didn't have that verse out here. But two thoughts on that. The reason you don't want to do that is because you won't prosper in the end. You're not going to prosper. The counsel of the ungodly. Anymore, we don't have to sit together with a bunch of people to get counsel from the ungodly. Did you know that? I can sit in a quiet place by myself and get counsel from the ungodly. We can sit here with 15 men and I can have more information, more ungodly counsel than those 15 men can give me in an hour. I can just sit with my internet and just do whatever I want. I want to just give us a word of caution. Seeking counsel from the ungodly. The internet, it wasn't designed for you to draw close to God. Those Bible apps, the Concordance app, Divine's Dictionary, Google just to look up something real fast, that's very helpful. You're trying to change a part on your engine and you click a YouTube link and it shows you almost like in-person video that's how you do that. Those things are helpful. I'm not saying they're not. But the core of this thing was not designed to draw you closer to God. It was not designed to help you expand the kingdom of God. Also, sitting with the scornful. Scornful there is jeering, mocking, or making snide remarks. That can come close to home. Let's be careful. Let's ponder the path of our feet. And if we are living with secret sin, consider that. I think of the song that heaven is a holy place filled with glory and with grace. Sin can never enter there. Sin can never enter there. So let's not make excuses, but let's just be honest. If we have a struggle of some sin in our lives, let's just be honest. Find a brother, a sister. And get help. Get help to be an overcomer. And it takes humility to get that. But Jesus, the Word of God tells us that he that humbles himself will be exalted. God will lift you up in due time. Ponder your path.
In the last days, there's going to be men that are lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul gives us a very sharp warning there. And I believe that as he's writing to the church, I believe that we can very clearly get this picture of this is a professing. You know, when the heathen do this here, we just know they do that. You know what I'm saying? The heathen do behave that way. But he's giving us a warning that in the last days, there's perilous times coming. There's a lot of deception coming. There's a lot of talkers. They might say a lot of good and right things, but live a whole nother thing. So I think we could take this as a warning that this is a warning to professing. This is of men that have been professing believers. And Revelations clearly gives us instruction that I'm just going to read a few verses here. Thinking of being judged according to our works, thinking of pondering our path, and knowing that God is keeping record of our lives. Revelations 20, verse 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Let's not try to make another way, because God has made a way for us. Let's just ponder our path. And I was thinking, a lot of times when we don't have time to ponder, as I was talking with a brother last night, and he just shared the thought of the solution lies largely in how we structure our life. That makes sense? And how we structure our life can have a big effect if you have time to ponder. If you have time to meditate, or if you're just too busy, and everything that's in the kingdom takes second place. And meaning, how far do I chase the dollar? And how far am I willing to go and be spent for the kingdom? Having time for our families. Let's just be honest, and let's honestly ponder our path. Not a passing thought, but a deep consideration. Where will this end up? Whatever your decisions are. Where will this end up? Will this bring glory to God? How will this work out? And not questioning everything and not having faith and being fearful, but just in sincerity pondering. For the kingdom of God, for the glory of God. Hebrews 11:6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let's remember, if we diligently seek God, God rewards us. And it's also impossible to please Him without faith. God, He wants to give us an expected end. He doesn't want us to go through life aimlessly or controlled by the busyness of this world. But He wants us to go through life on purpose, being kingdom conscious. That's how He wants us to go through life. Making decisions based upon the kingdom of God. So I pray that as we consider pondering our paths, and together we could pray for one another, and that we could sometimes be good to ponder together, like, where is this going to go? How will this work out? What's right for here? Because if we have a kingdom vision, that means we have each other's best interest in mind. That's who we're interested in. We want to make it. But from the oldest to the youngest, everyone to make it. So let's together ponder the path of our feet. And God bless you. And I hope when I first shared that, I hope I didn't say anything that was discouraging or out of line in any way.